If God is with us, why is all this happening? That's a familiar thought. Well, it is for me. I imagine you've thought it too. The psalmist puts it like this. In Psalm 42, I'm going to read from the Message. A white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink God, drink deep draughts of God. I'm thirsty for God alive. I wonder, will I ever make it? Will I ever arrive and drink in God's presence? I'm on a diet of tears. Tears for breakfast, tears for supper. All day long, people knock at my door, pestering me. Where is this God of yours? But you know, the Bible promises, and just as the angel had said to Gideon, over and over and over, I am with you. It says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, I'm with you. I will be with you always to the end of the age. There are so many verses that give us that message. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. In the initial lockdown, March 2020, I don't know about you, but I thought, you know, like they did about the First World War, we'll have this beaten by the autumn. We'll have this. At least by Christmas, surely it'll be over. Well, we're now approaching autumn a year on, and we're still here with the pandemic still very much alive and thriving. The Israelites were reduced to starvation, as we heard in the story, but it took them 7 years, 7 years of being treated like that before they finally thought, maybe we ought to pray to God. 7 years, reduced to living in caves, reduced to living in holes in the ground. Sometimes I write notes. When I have my quiet time in the morning, if something's really, really struck me, I write down notes. And I wrote this. This is almost a year to the day now, 21st of September 2020. I wrote this in my quiet time diary. I put it, COVID, is still very much here and is rising again across the country. Do you remember there was, at that time, we had local lockdowns. And we seemed to be getting away with it pretty well. We were still in that level one or whatever it was called. And places all around the country were going to level four and it sounded awful. And it got worse, didn't it? So this is last September, and I'm writing, it seems to be rising again all over the country. I wonder if it will still be with us, fighting us and attacking us 7 years from now. Will our nation turn to God and cry to help? Will our churches even unite in prayer for help? And will we ever understand if the Lord is with us? Why is this pandemic happening? I then wrote, probably not. Gideon didn't get an answer to his question either. Why is this happening? The angel didn't answer him. What the angel did instead, or what God did, was give Gideon a commission. His commission was to go and gather. Go and gather together. What, a mighty army? No. Go and gather together the Israelites to worship. That's the first thing he was told to do. The Midianites were still at large. They were still roaring. But God said, the first thing you've got to do is worship. Worship God alone. Why worship? Well, I think there's power in praise. Worship is a weapon. It's what we were created for. You know, why do we stand to sing in church? Part of it, I was thinking about this, part of it I think is because then we can fill our lungs and we can belt it out, and we love doing that, don't we? And I think that's part of it. That's why we stand to sing. But I also think that part of this is because when we worship God, just as we have done this morning, how many of the words in the songs that we sang were proclaiming the truth? We stand to sing the truth of the gospel, the truth about the character of God, the truth about Jesus and what he has done for us, the truth that the Holy Spirit is with us. It proclaims the truth. Worship is a weapon in our spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. It's part of our armor. It's part of our shield of faith. It's part of our sword of the Word of God. Worship is so important. So when we stand to sing, we are actually proclaiming that we are children of God and we know who we are worshiping, and this is the truth. Ephesians 6 says, "Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil." And then after the battle, you will still be standing. Stand and sing. So why was Gideon told to worship first? Because when we worship and praise, when we stand and sing, we are in a battle. That's the first step of the battle. We proclaim that our God is Almighty, the King of Kings, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's just look back at Gideon's battle. Victory came in the middle of the night. The Israelite army, as we've heard, were stripped back to just 300 men. Stripped back to just a few. So God could take the glory, not the men. Have you felt stripped back recently? Has your church felt stripped back recently? I wonder why. This pandemic has had a massive impact on all of our lives for so many different facets, so many different ways, that we've been stripped back to a committed few. What's God got in store for us? What does he want us to do? Perhaps he needs us right now to just proclaim the truth of what we believe, what our faith is all about. Those committed few were willing to give it all they had. But actually, it wasn't very much. What they actually had, they didn't have swords. They didn't have camels. What they actually had was a trumpet, a ram's horn, and a clay pot with a torch inside. And they were going into battle with that. So the instructions were, you blow that trumpet as loud as you can. Stand and sing it out. Stand and sing it out. And then they were to hold the torches high and they were to shout this declaration, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. God comes first, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. We're behind Gideon, we're going to encourage him and hold him up as well. So they put God first. They stood, each man in his position around that enemy camp, had that position, and they stood without swords, without shields. They stood with their trumpet and their torch held high. And they watched as the Midianites ran around in panic and then fought each other until there was no one left. Recently, a bit of a confession at the moment. I've been feeling a bit like the pressures of life have been pressing in on me a bit. Just community and family, and things have been a little bit wobbly for me recently. Just people have been struck with illnesses that I didn't see that coming. And family members, things happening, and I just think, oh, no, Lord, why is that happening as well? What? And again, that's why this question was in my head. If the Lord is with me, where is he? Why is this happening? What's going on here, God? And more than once, I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me and say, stand and sing. Stand and sing. So if you had the camera in the place where I have my quiet time, you would see me standing in the middle of my bedroom, standing with my arms held high, singing at the top of my... Thankfully, we don't live on a housing estate. I am really, 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 really blessed that that's the case. And just singing out anything I can think of that just proclaims the truth of God and who he is and Jesus and what he has done. Take your position and stand firm. Shout out for God. Sing and proclaim the truth. And then also just to hold that light high. And the other thing God's been nudging me about recently is to say, hold your light. You know, there's so many references again in the Bible. It says, don't put your light under a dirty old bucket. Don't put your light under a bushel. Hold your light high. Keep putting on love, even when you don't feel it. When you don't feel like it, keep putting on love. Keep going. There's one more story I just want to share with you, but I'll make this one quick. This is in Chronicles. You might know this one. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So this is hundreds of years later. By this time, the Israelite nation has been split into two. So we have Judah and we have Israel. So this is Judah, and a mighty army were facing the people of Judah. There was a king by that time called Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was terrified by this army coming his way. And so he called all the people of Judah to come and fast and pray. That was his first thing to do. And then while they were doing that, God said, through one of the people in that gathering, God said, don't be afraid. Verse 17. So it's 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. Don't be afraid. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Take your positions and then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. The Lord is with you. So I'm just going to read to you what happened. This is from verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. I can't believe it. I can't even imagine to think what those singers felt like. It's like, what? You're putting me first? Anyway. To walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they had to sing. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At that very moment that they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And they were all killed. The singers went first, because they proclaimed the truth of God. There's power when we praise. Worship is a weapon. In the New Testament, in the letters that Paul writes, he often includes a prayer for the church that he's writing to. And he writes to Colossians, and he writes this prayer. He says, this is Colossians 1, verse 11. Paul saying to the church in Colossae, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. When I read that the first time, you kind of read those words. Yeah, that's nice. And then I read it again. What? We pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. Right, let's just think about God's glorious power. What does that look like? God's glorious power created the earth. God's glorious power through the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters and created mountains and created valleys and created oceans and created the huge plethora of animals, creatures, and everything that we can see and everything that we know of. And then his power, his glorious power, created the stars, the sun, the Milky Way. That's just one galaxy, with all the planets that we know about, and then all the other galaxies. There are something like 200 billion galaxies. We're just one galaxy, and that's our solar system. There are millions of galaxies. God's glorious power is enormous. Paul prays that you will be strengthened with God's glorious power to do what? To do miracles? To do great things, to move mountains? No. To endure and have patience. We need that glorious power to stand still. Because sometimes life is so hard. Sometimes it rocks us so much. He prays we'll have glorious power, strength from God, to stay standing and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And while we stand, Paul then follows through with, may you find joy in every moment, and may you be thankful. There's a story by John Piper. He's a pastor and a theologian, and he talks about this story. He says, imagine that you're in a city. The city is completely besieged by an enemy. And the enemy wants to destroy everything, annihilate everything that's within the city. But you have a song. And as you sing the song, the enemy is confronted and has to pull back and run away. So your song causes the enemy to run in fear. In fact, all of the enemy troops around the city begin to run in fear, all because of this song. The song is of thankfulness. Thankfulness in a Christian is a song that Satan cannot abide. Why? Because it gives all the glory to God. When we say, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine, we are praising God and no one else. Thankfulness gives all the glory to God. It's a secret weapon of the saints. Do we actually use it to its full potential, I wonder? Back to Gideon. I've nearly finished. Would the band like to come through? Thank you. And his fleece. You know, Gideon had been so blessed, as it were, in the fact that he'd seen the face of God. He'd seen an angel. And there's a moment in the story of Gideon when he says, oh, crumbs, am I now going to die because I've just seen this angel? And the angel says, no, it's okay, it's okay. You're going to be okay. I've got a job for you. And so he's had that experience of seeing the angel. And he's had that experience of even tearing down those altars to the other gods. And he was nearly killed when he did that by his own family and by the people in his community because he'd done this thing that pulled down the altars to other gods. And he'd built an altar to the Lord and he'd called that altar, the Lord is peace. But Gideon wasn't convinced that God was actually for him and that God had his back. Gideon had heard words of peace from the angel and even built that altar. His words and his prayers reveal that he is far from at peace. In fact, he's terrified and he's afraid, and then their fleece laying comes in. One commentator says, Gideon's fleece laying has nothing to do with guidance, as we sometimes think it is, and has everything to do with insecurity. He was afraid. He was afraid of what he had to do. The words I am with you can be found in one form or another, apparently 365 times in the Bible. I am with you in one shape or another, 365 times in the Bible. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God is with us? When things go wrong, when life gets tough, do we accept that God is for us? The simplest truth at the heart of the gospel is one that many of us really struggle to accept. The heart of the gospel of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is that God utterly loves us and is totally for us. Utterly, unconditionally loves us so much that he gave his son. He gave his son, his only son. Whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. He is utterly for us. Do we actually accept that? When we don't base our lives on that reality, we try to earn God's love, and life becomes more of a struggle than it ever should be. God never asks us to do that. God's grace is sufficient for us, 2 Corinthians. And when we are weak, he is strong. Let's use our ability to stand and sing. Let's proclaim the truth of God. It's a weapon. And when we are being buffeted about from all sides, let's stand and sing. And when the battle is over, we'll still be standing. Let's pray. Holy Lord, God our Father, we praise you because you are the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you, Jesus, for all that you are and all that you have done. You took our place on that cross, the punishment that we deserve. You defeated death when you rose again, and all who believe in you, Jesus, will rise with you with the hope of eternal life. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for you are the unfailing power and love of God within us. You never leave us. You give us the strength from God the Father to endure and be patient. Lord, we ask that you help us to stand and sing your praises always, in every circumstance. Thank you, God, that you walk with us in every moment of the day. You are always with us. Heavenly Father, we pray for those that we know and that we love who are hurting. Father, we pray for those who are sick. We bring before you those who are suffering. We think especially of Karen's sister Tracy as she goes into hospital. Heavenly Father, we pray for your comfort. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would relieve pain. We pray for those who are grieving, who are hurting because they've lost ones that they've loved. We pray, Holy Spirit, for your comfort there too. We pray for those who are suffering from anxiety and depression, who find the pressures of this life so much unbearable. Jesus, send your Spirit upon them. Fill them with your peace. We pray for broken relationships in marriage and in family life. We pray for those struggling financially, those in debt, those just trying to make ends meet. Lord, for all those that we know, we lift them to you now in the quiet of our hearts. We ask for your hand upon them. By your mighty power, we pray. And as we think of the wider world, Father, we bring to mind those in Afghanistan as the new order of life begins. Father, would you come close to those Christians who are in that nation? Would you protect them? Would you remind them every day that you are always with them to the end of the age? And we bring to mind those who are rebuilding their lives after disaster. Those in Haiti. Those in Europe where the wildfires took ravaged and just destroyed communities. In Australia, in America. And all this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. May your glorious power come upon each one, Holy Lord, that we may endure, that we may have patience, that we may find joy in every moment, that we may be thankful and give you praise.